halfway interruption. Well, good morning again. Just to tell you, I'm going to be seated this morning. I got to experience the blessed bubonic plague this weekend at my house. Me, and I call that the stomach virus, by the way. I'm ever convinced that in hell you will be nauseated and cannot throw up. That I'm convinced that is the case. And I apologize to you cat lovers while a cat is rubbing on your leg. That's what I'm convinced that hell will be like. So, y'all will get that in a minute. So I'm kind of operating about a half a cylinder. Got sick Friday night, so I'm over being probably the contagious part, but you know how that feels, like a wet noodle about somebody could just knock you over. So, but you know what, I wanted to be in the Lord's house with you on Christmas Day, and so I had gotten to my lineup just in case I couldn't do that, but I can at least sit. I won't be the jumping bean I usually am, and that's okay. You probably won't mind that. It might be a little shorter than normal, maybe. But probably not, as Chris Rhodes bet the other day that I couldn't preach a short sermon on Christmas Day, so we'll see how that goes. But so I'm not quite on all cylinders, so if you're a guest this morning, I usually am a little bit more energetic, but I'll be honest with you, I was sick, and all I could think about was my sweet little Tony Marino, and I thought, you know what, that little girl can do it, and has done it for months and months and months. My gosh, I can get up on a Sunday morning, whether I feel like it or not, and it'd be maybe a little bit of a sacrifice of worship this morning, so... my apologies if I'm not quite up to par, but I will let the Lord take care of all that. And as usually is the case, when you're the most unprepared and feel the worst, it's usually when God speaks the most, because I guess sometimes it gets us out of the way. But I want to start a new series entitled this morning, For Christmas, the next three Sundays together, talking about Let Us Worship Christ, and talking about why do we worship at Christmas, and what is it that we worship at Christmas, and why is Christmas so incredibly important? One author offered this statement, that perhaps the greatest miracle was not the resurrection of Christ. For we see him do this over and over again. He raises people from the dead in the New Testament, even, of course, himself raising himself to new life. But perhaps the greatest miracle this author offered was the incarnation, the coming of Christ as a baby. For there is no greater miracle. It's never been repeated before in human history. No other religion offers any kind of thing close to this. It is unique. And it's why we celebrate Christmas. So I want to talk about, because we worship Christ, why those four words you saw up there, the joy, the peace, the hope, and the love that Christmas brings and it offers. And how that impacts us in our daily lives. Too often we think Christmas is a December thing. Some of you are gung-hoers like Miss D in our office. She wants to start playing Christmas music like right after Halloween, like November the 1st. It starts blaring. When it's, you know, of course it was November 1st, it was like, you know, 107 degrees outside. But she loves it. She plays that Christmas music, and Chris and I bemoan the fact that she starts in November. But, you know, it's a great reminder. We forget that Christmas is year-round. And the story of Christmas and the meaning of Christmas and what it means for you and for me and the joy and the peace and the hope and the love that it brings. But beyond the warm fuzzies that Christmas can bring, and even those four words can bring warm fuzzies, what do these things offer to us? This morning we start with joy and peace. And I stop and thought for a while, what does the world offer in the way of joy? Now, it offers lots of ways happiness, especially during the Christmas season, right? It offers all kinds of things, and even promises maybe to deliver joy, it would appear. But it offers it through stuff that breaks or wears out, or through experiences that fade with time, through relationships that sometimes don't last, through the next pursuit of something that proves to be meaningless. The idea of joy at Christmas is more along the lines of have a holly jolly Christmas than it is joy to the world. We find that to be the case. We find the emptiness sometimes of what the world says Christmas is about, and we get sucked into it so easily and so quickly that we don't even sometimes even realize it. And we forget, and we allow the world to shove out the real joy that Christmas is to bring, that joy that is brought not only to you and to me, but to the entire world, that a Savior has been born. What makes it joy to the world? We think about Mary and Joseph. In light of the circumstances that they found themselves in, what about the shepherds and the wise men, Simeon and Anna, those that were in the temple waiting for the coming of the Messiah? What joy comes to them? What about peace? What does the world offer in the way of peace? Again, it offers lots of ways to experience peace, but most of them, this elusive peace that the world might talk about, through the pursuit of finding yourself, just accepting life as fate, through meditation, or maybe through spending money on something to make you feel better, getting some more stuff. And it would say that peace is really the absence of conflict. It's some utopia, right? This whole idea that we're going to get the Jews and the Arabs to get along, right? Can I just help people know that no president, no matter how great they may be, no secretary of state will ever bring peace to the Jews and the Arabs? Never. Do you know that to be true? Right? That's what the word says. It tells us we know there's not going to be peace in this world. And by the way, peace is not the absence of conflict. Here's the funny thing about peace. You can't experience peace until you've had conflict, till you've had trouble, till you've had sorrows, till you've had difficulties. Then and only then can you really experience the peace that Christ offers. And too often I think we have made this Christmas story into a Hollywood story, right? You know, that everything, or even a sitcom, it can all fit nicely into a 30-minute story, a 20-minute message, which in most sitcoms, it's about 23 minutes by the time you knock all the commercials out, maybe 22 minutes. We can tell the story in this neatly packaged thing that everything, as we hear the songs of Silent Night, all is calm, all is bright. Was it really all calm and bright that night? Was it really true that on the way in the manger song that no crying did Jesus make? No, I think Jesus could scream just as good as your child did. We kind of make this Hollywood story that everything was just perfect, but we forget the fact sometimes that Mary, who is forced to travel many, many miles to Bethlehem. Ladies, you think the car ride to go to the hospital was bad? Try it on a donkey for about 4 or 5 days. She's forced to be away from her entire family, going to where her husband Joseph's family was from. Those moments when we cherish having family around us, there is no family. There is nobody to pass out the bubblegum cigars. There is no one to even really know that Jesus has been born, that their firstborn child they're brought into the world. Nobody's there but Mary and Joseph. Not to consider how that she found out she was pregnant. Stop and think about it from that perspective. It doesn't seem all peaceful like the Christmas pageants with the beautiful lights and the smoke and the fog and the candles everywhere. It makes it look so peaceful, doesn't it? But the reality is Jesus came in the middle of chaos. The world was in chaos, but the world was waiting. The world was hoping. The world was praying for joy and for peace to come, just like we are today. But here's the amazing thing. Our world is searching for something that's already come. That joy and peace is already here. The problem is that we haven't found it yet, or they have not found it yet. But out of the middle of this story, out of the middle of all this chaos, out of all these circumstances that proved to be so difficult for Mary and Joseph, God had a plan all along. To bring the news to the world that the world desperately needs to hear. More than anything else, they need to hear that God had come, the long-awaited promised Messiah and Savior. The news that brings the joy that we can't even describe, the peace that is beyond comprehension. He does it with an angel choir and host of angels filling up the sky, the nighttime sky, thousands and thousands of them. The greatest choir concert in history. And it's all before, perhaps the most tone-deaf of all, who probably didn't appreciate music at all, the shepherds. We find this story in Luke chapter 2. Would you take your Bible and turn there? While you're turning to Luke chapter 2, let me read you our theme verse for this series, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But if you'll turn to Luke chapter 2. Isaiah 9, verse 6, a verse very familiar to us, says this, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name, so important, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, the best one, the Prince of Peace." And that message was broadcast loudly and clearly on that Christmas night in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And angels of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, folks, let's just stop here for just 1 second. Let's get the visual here. This was not something where an angel pops up and everybody goes, oh, wow, cool. Let me call my friends. Let me tweet this on Twitter. Let me put this on Facebook. Let me take a selfie with the angel. Okay? The Bible says they were greatly frightened, okay? Scared out of their mind, right? Afraid, right? And as if just not one was enough. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great, what? Joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is well pleased. The message of Christmas, joy and peace. The angels announced the news the world had been longing to hear. Silence for some 450 years. No prophet had been spoken, had been speaking at this point over these last 450 years. Would God really keep His promise? A promise that had been made from the Garden of Eden when He promised that there would be one that would bruise the head of the serpent. God was talking about His Son Jesus, prophesied throughout the prophets that there was one to come who would change everything. Who would bring the joy into the world that had been missing? Who would bring the peace that no one else could describe? That would come in the form of a baby. Emmanuel, God with us. And the angels announced the message to the shepherds. Incredibly, that God comes to bring peace. And amazingly, that God is pleased with man. Now, many people would say that God's not pleased with man. God hates mankind. We know that not to be the truth. Now, is God pleased with our behavior and our actions all the time? No, of course not. But do we know that God is pleased with us? Yes, we know, because we know God is for us and not against us. The good news is that peace has come. So I just want us to ask ourselves this question. What does the joy and the peace of Christmas bring? Five quick thoughts under each one of these. Doubles, think about the joy. Let's talk about the joy that Christmas brings. Not only to us, but brought to Mary and Joseph. Think about it. The joy, ladies, the first time you found out you were pregnant. Do you remember that joy? Maybe it was joyous, maybe it wasn't. Depends on the circumstances, right? Maybe it was joyous for you. Probably every Jewish girl, most every Jewish girl, this was her dream, to become a mother. And Mary finds out she's pregnant. Now remember, you know the story. She was engaged. She was not yet married. She was a virgin. And she finds out from the angel she's pregnant. What joy that turns into, oh no, how could I be pregnant? Joy dissolves very quickly. Dads, do you remember the first time you found out you were going to be a father? The pride that swelled, the joy, the hope, the peace. And yet also maybe some of the things that Joseph felt, a lot of fear. Joseph was horribly afraid. What was he going to do? His wife-to-be that he loved deeply was pregnant, and he knew that he was not the father. That Mary was still a virgin. How could this be? Or at least that's what she had told him. He knew it wasn't him. It had to be somebody else. How else could this be explained? And all of a sudden, this joyous occasion becomes something that we think, maybe it's not so joyous after all. The shepherds experienced the joy of Christmas firsthand. But yet, the joy to the world, the Lord has come, also meant this. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, and yet He must die. What kind of joy is that? Joy to the world, the Lord has come to die. That doesn't seem very joyous, does it? But it's when we describe the word joy, we understand what joy really means, then we get a fresh glimpse about the joy that Christmas brings. The first one, that the joy that Christmas brings, is it brings promise to our plight. It brings promise to our plight. And what is our plight? What is our problem? Our problem is we are a sinner in need of someone to save us. That we cannot save ourselves. We cannot be good enough, to be nice enough, to be moral enough, to give enough money, to be nice enough to enough people, to do enough gifts to bring to somebody. We have a problem. It's a sin problem. And it's a problem our world doesn't want to talk about or admit or understand, that we are all sinners in all level at the ground at the foot of the cross. We all have the same problem. But yet there is a promise that the joy brings. When you have a problem, all we want is a solution. We want something to make it better, right? And this problem is unique, unlike any other problem, in that it needs a solution unlike any other. It is a sin problem. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yet we find the promise fulfilled in a person. In the person of Jesus, coming as a baby to experience what we experience, to experience this world of sin and sadness and heartache and suffering and sorrow and disappointment and even great high moments of joy and incredible exaltation and great moments that we celebrate. He said, I came to bring promise to your plight. That though you fall short of my glory, though you fall short of the perfect standard, and yes, you deserve death, and yes, we deserve to die, and we all look out at somewhere we're going to die. That is our plight. But here's the great promise. Here's what brings joy. Jesus has come. And because he's come, that brings the joy that we need, all found in a promise. God didn't just talk about coming. God didn't send somebody else. God sends himself so that we can have joy in this world. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you have a huge plight. You have a huge problem if you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord. But here's the great news. There is a promise that can bring you great joy this morning. Secondly, it brings purpose to our path. Not only does it bring incredible promise to our plight, it brings a purpose to our path. We all need a reason to live, a reason to get up in the morning, not to just exist. And this joy that we talk about at Christmas is not just based on where we are, what is happening to us, or what is not happening in us, happening to us. Instead, it's based on God's purpose for our lives, to know him and to make him known to others. The greatest joy that we could ever know, that brings purpose to our path, is to know our Father, to be in relationship with him on a daily basis, to know him, to love him, to serve him, to follow him. There we find the greatest joy that no other thing can bring. No job, no circumstance, no situation can ever bring that kind of joy than that. And we know it to be true, but we fill it with so much other stuff that the joy gets crowded out at Christmas, doesn't it? But yet we find our purpose to our path. And the other part of our purpose, not only is it to be in relationship with him, it's also to help others know that same kind of joy. So let me ask you, do people see the joy of Christmas in you? Or do they see Ebenezer Scrooge? Do they see the bah humbug, right? The lines, the parties, all the things that we all have to do. It seems to be our schedules explode with all kinds of things that we have to do. And our calendars are full. And we wonder, where is the joy of Christmas? Where did it go? Well, we forget the purpose of Christmas in the first place. It's designed for us to know him and to make him known. You talk about great joy. Is looking in the eyes of somebody and seeing them ask Jesus Christ into their heart. There is no greater joy than that. A purpose to our path. The third thing, it brings perspective to our pain. The joy of Christmas brings perspective to our pain. How it did that for Mary and for Joseph. What painful moments they had to go through to get to the point of where their child would be born, where Jesus would be born. yet it brings perspective to our pain. It brings perspective to the fact that Jesus came to die, that famous song that we all know, Mary, did you know that your baby was born to save the world, that he was going to die? Simeon the prophet even testifies this fact when she brings him to be dedicated at the temple, and she doesn't really even grasp it at this point. She doesn't know, but he says, Mary, your heart will be pierced. What joy is that in someone dying? It's our greatest joy, folks, for without the coming of Christ and his death, we were hopeless. And there is no joy, but joy brings perspective. Now, joy doesn't mean we won't have pain. Joy doesn't mean that we won't have difficult circumstances. But really, joy is finding it in the middle of the most challenging moments of your life. Joy helps us to see things for what they really are. And many times, you have to make a choice. In your circumstances, Mary and Joseph had to make a choice. Do I trust the Lord that he is in control? Do I trust the promises of God are true? And do I walk through those promises in joy, trusting him? Now, we have to make a conscious choice to do that because our flesh does not want to do that. Our flesh wants to what? We want to be sad. We want to be figure it all out. We want to do something else. And God says, if you'll trust me, if you'll walk through this, I'm going to walk through it with you. And when you come out the other side, you'll have the perspective that you need about your pain. She births that newborn child, Jesus. And those shepherds show up. She knew. Now, she already knew, but wow, isn't it great to get confirmation that what you knew to be true all along was really true? And the angels come and say they heard the angels sing and tell them the story. Nobody had gone out and delivered a message to the shepherds. The angels had done that. God had done that. Notice the fourth one. It brings perseverance to our position. Do you ever just want to quit? Just stop following. Just stop believing. I'm just tired. I'm weary. I'm lonely. It's a difficult time. For Christmas, some is the most difficult time of the year. It's designed to be joyous, but sometimes because of past circumstances, it sometimes can rob that joy that Christmas is designed to bring to you and to me. You know Mary had thought about quitting. We know Joseph thought about quitting because he was going to put Mary away quietly. He was going to do the godly thing, but he was going to put her away. Simeon and Anna in the temple had been waiting for decades. They believed they would live, that God had promised them they would live to see the Messiah. And they were both old in age and had yet to see. You think they wanted to quit? Do you ever want to quit in your life? See, joy, when we go and get that joy, when we go and access that joy which is available to us, it brings perseverance to our position. It helps us stay the course. It helps remind us why we're here and what we're doing, that this world is not our home. We have to persevere, and the joy helps us to do that very thing. No matter what position in life you may be in, as a teenager, as a child, as a mother, as a father, as a single person, as a grandparent, as a great-grandparent, wherever station you find yourself in, the joy of Christmas will bring perseverance to your position in life. And lastly of this, it brings praise to our posture. It brings praise to our posture. You know, our posture is very important. People tell you this all the time when we were growing up. I don't know if we do it anymore, but what did your mom and dad always tell you when you got to the dinner table? Oh, teenagers, we probably don't tell you this as much anymore, but what did they tell you at the table? I see some of you doing it. That's good, David. What did they tell you? Sit up straight, right? What else? No hands on the table, right? Okay, so none of this on the table, right? Right? No. Our napkin had to be in our lap, right? Chew with your mouth closed, right? All these posture things that had to be just right. But Christmas reminds us of our posture should be one of praise. That of the shepherds. I mean, God announces the angels as the most lowly people in the Jewish culture, the shepherds, because they kept the lambs, the sheep that were going to be used as sacrifices. They weren't even allowed to go to the temple. And yet as God does it all along, he goes to the most unlikely, the most unnoticed. And what is their posture? Prostrate. Falling out before the Lord. prostrate completely in front of him. They come and they come to worship, right? The king. The wise men who come, by the way, remember, 2 years later. We have to have our manger scenes and the Christmas pageants. Have to bring him in at the same time because we can't say, hey, come back 2 years later, we'll give you the rest of the story, right? So everybody comes at the same time, but we know it's later. But even as they come, these wise men, these very, very wealthy individuals who are probably leaders and rulers in their lands come over, and their posture is one of praise. They bow down before the king presenting their gifts. Shouldn't the joy of Christmas, when we realize what he has done for us, what we couldn't do for ourselves, the one who brings perspective to our pain, the one who brings promise to our plight, the one who brings perseverance to our position, that one, our posture should be that of praise. So we join with the angel choir to sing, "Oh come, let us adore him. Joy to the world, the Lord has come." What about peace? Mary and Joseph experienced the joy of Christmas, but they also experienced the peace of Christmas. You go and read the story in Matthew chapter 1 of Joseph's and his story and how he finds out separately from Mary. You know what they needed more than anything else? You know what you and I need in circumstances when things go awry, when things don't go according to our plan, right? We need the joy, but we need the peace. The two kind of are completely connected. We need the peace to walk through the fire, through the storms of life, and to discover that peace that passes all understanding. But listen, we don't discover it outside of those circumstances. We discover it in the middle of them. God does us sometimes the greatest favor, and we oftentimes pray, God, would you remove this from my life? Would you get me out of this mess? Jesus even prayed in the garden to some extent, but he prays it differently than you and I pray it. Lord, if it's possible, remove this cup. But if it's not, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Sometimes Jesus' greatest gift to us is he tells us, I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to walk through it with you. And it is in those moments, and you know it to be true. And if you've not experienced it, I can only plead with you to find Christ your Savior and Lord, because I've walked through those circumstances, and many of you have, and it's there you find that peace that you simply can't explain. You find that peace that somebody says, well, how did you get through it? And you're like, all I can tell you is Jesus. Yeah, but even specifically, what did you do? All I can tell you, it's Jesus. He was there. He did the things for me that I couldn't do for myself. He spoke to my heart and to my soul. He used people to come around me and love me and encourage me and comfort me and remind me of the truth of God's Word. Experience that peace. When we think to ourselves, well, I'd have felt that peace if Gabriel would come and speak to me and tell me everything was going to be all right. Right? If they just come and appear in the middle of my storm and say, it's all going to be all right. Jesus will just walk on the water and be fine. But God doesn't speak to me like that. Folks, he does. He does it through his word. He speaks to us promises that many of the saints of old did not have. They only heard them occasionally. We can see them all at one time. And God speaks to us and promises us his peace. The peace allowed Mary to accept the fact she was going to be the mother of the Son of God, to carry her in her womb as an embryo, then becoming a baby. And Joseph to do the same, to be the stepfather, if you will, of Jesus. Peace brings five things quickly. Number one, it brings calm to our chaos. It brings calm to our chaos. Can you think of chaotic moments in your life? When life seems to be really, really chaotic. I think of youth ministry days. Big old youth ministry events are kind of chaotic. A sleepover with 10 little girls at a house. You know, you go to a trampoline park or you go to a roller skating somewhere and it's just controlled chaos, right? It's like herding sheep or cats. It's just crazy, right? Sometimes our world can feel a little chaotic, especially this time of the year. And yet the peace of God promises to bring calm in the middle of our chaos. But here's the thing. God doesn't bring that peace to us until we need it, until we ask for it. but it's there. Right? On a good day, do you pray for God's peace? We typically don't, do we? But when we encounter those moments of difficulty and trial and those moments that come unexpectedly and there's chaos in our life, all of a sudden we're praying, God, I need your peace, that this is all going to work out. This is all going to be all right. And then we experience it. The second thing we find along the same lines is certainty and confidence to our concerns. Difficult times can make us uneasy, uncertain. It can bring doubt and even great fear. Mary and Joseph had to have experienced all those kinds of emotions, doubts and fear and uncertainty. How is this going to turn out? How do you raise Jesus, the Son of God? All kinds of questions, but what does the peace of God bring to them on that Christmas night? It brings certainty and confidence. Folks, in the middle of the greatest trials of our lives, it ought to bring certainty and confidence that the world is in complete chaos. I know who holds my life. And I know who is in control of all things. And it brings certainty and confidence to help me walk through those moments. The third thing it does is it brings courage to our cowardice. It brings courage to our cowardice. We don't like to admit when we're afraid, right? We admit to somebody we're afraid, it means we're out of control. It means that we don't have a handle on the circumstances, or maybe it's something that happened so unexpectedly we didn't know what to do or could be even prepared for it. And so we become, just like Joseph was, deeply afraid. As a matter of fact, lest we think that Joseph has the corner on this, you look at any other character in the Bible, in the moments when they found themselves facing these moments, most of them turned and ran. Even the disciples who had walked with Jesus the night that he's taken away, they all turn and they run. And yet the peace of Christmas reminds us that God brings courage to our lives through peace. Now, how do we get courage from peace? I mean, how do those two work together? Well, here's how it works. I know who holds the future. And I know he's going to work it out for my good. Right? That brings courage to walk ahead, even if it's just the next step. You don't have to have the whole thing figured out, because that's not our job. That's God's job. Our job is to say, Lord, I trust you, and I need your peace, and I need the courage to walk ahead. And his peace will bring that to you this Christmas. Notice the last two, comfort to our circumstances. We need courage, there is no doubt. We need calm. And we need certainty and confidence. But a lot of time, you know what we need? We need comfort. We need assurance, right? The only way I know to describe this is as a kid, when things were not going very well, you could just climb up into Dad's lap. Now, I'm not to knock you moms at all, because you certainly did that too. We had the boo-boos and the scrapes. We came to you because Dad typically said, you know, suck it up, put some alcohol on it and blow it and it'll be fine. Rub a little dirt in it, you'll be good, right? But moms tend to have that compassionate side, right? It's going to be out, you know, they want to love and do that kind of thing. But there's something, and that's good, and that's one picture, but when everything seems to be chaotic, it just seemed to be one safe place that nothing could touch you was in my daddy's arms. I can remember that feeling physically and emotionally of what that meant of security, of comfort. Folks, that's what the peace of Christmas brings. It brings comfort to a hurting and a wounded heart. There's some of you in this building this morning that you need that peace of Christmas. You need that comfort. Some of us are experiencing a first without somebody, a first holiday. You need that comfort. There's been a difficult circumstance in your life over this past year. You need that comfort that only God can bring through his peace. And here's the great news. He's ready to give it. You just got to ask. The last one it brings, a compass to our clutter. A compass to our clutter. Now, all of you, a lot of you have a smartphone, right? And they have, we used to not have these on our phone, but you had like an old-fashioned, we would call it now, a compass, right? Now, I'm not smart, I don't know if I've understood enough about it, but I understand there's a magnet that God put in the North Pole. right? That helps you know which direction you're going. And if you point away from that, the compass moves around. But there's always a true north. Folks, in the midst of difficult moments, like Mary and Joseph, they needed a compass. They needed a direction. They needed a way to go. And God promised them a compass, right? God gives the wise men a compass, a star to follow, to take them to Bethlehem to find Jesus. Folks, He promises you and I a compass, and it's found right here in His Word, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to help walk you through the clutter of this thing we call life. Sometimes our lives are like the TV show that used to be on called The Hoarders, right? You ever seen that show? Enough to make an obsessive compulsive completely die of a heart attack on the spot, right? People that put their spoons like certain ways, these houses are packed with stuff wall to wall. You have to make a pathway to get through, right? And you think, I need someone to help me walk through all this. I need a compass. Sometimes that's how our lives get, don't they? They get out of control. They get things we cannot maintain or are able to handle. And so God says, I've got the compass you need. It's found in Jesus. If Mary and Joseph needed it, so do we. Why do we worship Christ? Because only He can bring the joy and the peace that you and I in this world so desperately needs. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank You for the truth of Your Word. Lord, that it brings joy and it brings peace, that nothing else is like it. It brings the joy, which, Lord, means, Father, to be blissfully happy, if you will, in the middle of our circumstances. And Lord, there are some this morning who desperately need to experience the joy and the peace of Christmas. And I pray for that person that's sitting within the sound of my voice this morning that has never, ever found that joy and peace in You. They found it in a lot of other things, but they never found it in You. And I pray this morning as we come to a time of invitation, well, Lord, they would simply be able to say something like this in a prayer, something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to You I'm a sinner. I admit that I have missed Your standard of perfection. I have sinned and fallen short of what You want for me. And Lord, today I want to ask You to forgive me of all of those sins, past, present, and future. And I believe that You are God's Son, that You came at Christmas for me, that I could have eternal life. Lord, I believe You came and You lived and You died and rose again for me. And today, so I can experience that joy and that peace, I confess You as my Savior because I cannot save myself. And I want to commit my life to You as Lord for the rest of my days. Lord, I pray for any person that would have prayed that prayer, Lord, they would be able to experience for the very first time the joy and the peace of Christmas. Lord, I pray for others that need to find a church home where they can be at peace because they're at home serving with a body of believers on mission to help the world know the joy and the peace that Christmas can bring. For others who've already made that decision, not made it public, I pray You give them the courage to come and say yes to experiencing the Christmas miracle of new life. For others to come, Lord, to this altar. They're struggling. There's difficulties in their lives, and they need to experience the joy and the peace of Christmas. Lord, more than just a story, more than just something in a movie, but God, they would experience it for real in their hearts and their lives. That You would draw them to Yourself this morning. God, would You do Your work this morning as we worship You, as we respond to You, to Your message and Your call this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Let's worship this morning. Come around the front to receive You. You come right now as the Lord leads. You come. You come. We are